This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. 50 years ago this week, the Supreme Court heard arguments in the case Brown v. Board of Education of Topeka, Kansas. The decision, announced in May 1954, ended the doctrine of separate but equal. It was the court's most far-reaching case of the 20th century. NPR News is broadcasting a series of reports exploring the legacy of that decision. Before the landmark ruling, black parents were faced with the prospect of sending their children to what often amounted to inferior schools. But some Southern families found a way to avoid the segregated system. NPR's Debbie Elliott reports.
59-year-old Walt Swanston has many childhood memories, like the sweet smells of summer on the family farm in Clinton, Louisiana, and meeting her train friends every fall as they migrated from their southern homes to schools out west.
I also remember riding the trains from Louisiana into New Mexico, and the trains were segregated. You sat in the back coaches of the trains behind a curtain. If the train stopped in these small towns and you got off to get food, you went to the backs of restaurants because you weren't allowed in. From New Mexico into California, the trains were integrated.
It's different when she comes home today.
Oh, girl.
Hello.
I'm great.
Swanston shares a warm embrace with her childhood friend, Harriet Pitcher, in the lobby of a Baton Rouge hotel.
We grew up across the road from each other.
Yes. That's right. We can't say street, the road, right?
It was a road.
Oh, it is so good seeing you. How long has it been?
The two were neighbors in Clinton, a small farming town north of Baton Rouge. Now they live miles apart. Swanston in Washington, D.C., where she's director of diversity management at NPR, and Pitcher in Baton Rouge, where she's a professor of special education at Southern University.
So where's the rest of the family?
Well, let's see. My sister, you know, was the first black elected Justice of the Peace in Clinton.
I didn't know that.
And her daughter is now the first black elected city constable.
That's terrific.
It really is.
This is a different Clinton. This isn't out of Clinton that I know.
Swanston still has a snapshot of the Clinton from her childhood, a town with little opportunity if your skin was black. She hasn't lived here since she was a girl, and even then only spent summers in Clinton. That's because from a young age, her parents put her on a train bound for Oakland, California.
I was 4 years old. I had no idea why I was being sent away from the rest of the three children.
She was sent away to live with a doting aunt and uncle so she could attend integrated schools. Schools, she says, that were ripe with resources compared to the so-called separate but equal system in Clinton. But still, Swanston is bitter about a system that caused her to lose something precious, time with her family.
And even though I enjoy a lot of the riches and enjoy a lot of the opportunities that I might not have had here, I question the value of breaking up a family. Even though it was for a good cause, I still see that my family was broken apart, was torn apart.
Swanston says she felt isolated and different from her older brothers and sister when she came home. Her sister, Betty Snowden, now a probation officer in Oakland, wouldn't travel west until she was 10 years old. Before then, Snowden admits there was tension.
We thought she was being given special privilege. That she would come home and she had a nice speaking voice. She had cleared a lot of the speech problems that the rest of us practiced.
Their neighbor, Professor Harriet Pitcher, stayed behind in Clinton, where she attended the all-black public schools. Her family couldn't afford to send her away, even though she dreamed of leaving Clinton. Pitcher could tell her friends were learning things she wasn't. Foreign languages, for example.
They'd come back and speak a little bit of it. And of course, I didn't know what it was. Clinton did not have that.
Clinton also didn't have the one thing she really wanted to take.
If they had offered typing to us, that would have meant that blacks would have been competing for the jobs as secretaries.
Instead, Pitcher says, black students were offered home economics courses.
Home economics for 4 years, that was to prepare blacks to work for the whites, to be their cooks and to work in dry cleaners and laundries. Prepare them to do those things well, which put them in a servant's position.
Even though Pitcher stayed in the segregated school system, she was able to go on to college and eventually to get her doctorate. Today, when Walt Swanston sees the success of her friends like Pitcher, she wonders if going away was worth it.
On the one hand, I'm very grateful for the opportunity that I had to get the education in an integrated school system with all the resources. On the other hand, I see my contemporaries who stayed in the system and who did very well. So I questioned how far I could have gone and what I could have done had I stayed in the system and had I stayed with my family.
It's taken Swanston and her siblings years to understand the sacrifice their parents made to help them break away from segregation. They still come to Clinton regularly to visit their mother.
We just want to make sure that you're comfortable right now, that you've got everything you need.
All right.
All right.
96-year-old Ophelia Jackson lives in a private room at Grace Nursing Home. Dressed in a silk taupe blouse that ties at her neck, Jackson is an elegant woman who expresses no regrets about sending her children to school in California.
Yes, indeed. I'm very proud. Very proud of it.
Jackson was a teacher in Clinton's all-black schools and knew firsthand what her children would gain from an integrated setting.
It was just like everybody the same color, but it's so different, you know, when children are separated and everything is different and it's not fair.
The disparities were also evident to whites in Clinton. Sid Saint is the director of Grace Nursing Home. As a teenager, he was a clerk in a sharecropper's store. He remembers working the back counter where African Americans came with their orders.
Most of the people would come hat in hand and come to that counter and give a note if they could write. And I remember well even some of the people who were school teachers, and they would bring their note. And there I was, just a young teenager, and I would recognize that there was grammatical errors, you know, and poor spelling. That was one of the things that really stick in my mind. So if it was separate but equal, it wasn't equal.
Saint also remembers what happened after the court struck down separate but equal. White parents pulled their children from public schools and enrolled them in all-white private academies, even though the students, including Saint, were reluctant.
Their choices were for quality of education because they felt like the environment and the fact that probably some of the teachers, because they also integrated the teachers too, would not have been qualified to teach the subjects.
The legacy of those post-Brown decisions is evident in Clinton, Louisiana today. On a fall Friday night, Clinton High School is playing the private Christian Life Academy. Walt Swanston is struck by the racial makeup of each side.
These schools have become totally resegregated, almost to the point that they were when I was growing up.
Even so, she notices a new atmosphere in the stands today.
I don't think people feel uncomfortable with each other as they once would have. So this feels very good to me. It feels a lot different than the old days, and it feels very healthy. It feels like people have moved on.
Debbie Elliott, NPR News.
Family pictures and more interviews recollecting the segregation era in Clinton, Louisiana, are at npr.org.